Cape Talk Inspiration Wednesday.
Now, dealing with the loss of a loved one is difficult for everyone, no matter what the circumstances. But dealing with a loss by violence, particularly hard. How do you make sense of a death that came at the hands of another human being, especially when that human was someone the victim had known and even supported for many years? That is the awful reality that faced the family of acclaimed writer Winnie Rist after she was murdered at her home in Wellington in 2016. And the men convicted of that crime included Nigel Plykes, a young man Rist had mentored and financially supported over many years. He and his uncle Johannes Plykes are currently serving life sentences for that crime. The loss of a beloved mother and friend in such circumstances would leave many people embittered and disillusioned. And that's why I was astonished to learn that Winnie's family have not turned their back on the notion of helping young South Africans in need of educational support. They've done quite the opposite, and they've set up a foundation in her name that is going to continue reaching out to vulnerable youngsters. And it is an absolute privilege to welcome in studio today Winnie's daughter, Helena Reed, and her husband, Gordon. We'll also speak in a couple of minutes to one of her close friends who I'll bring in just a little bit later. But first, to the two of you, thank you so much for joining us today in studio. It's lovely to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Papa.
Helena, can I start with you and ask you please just to tell us a little bit about the kind of person your mum was?
What's interesting about my mother's life is that she lived in the same town for most of her life. So she was very loved by her community. She moved there when she was 6 years old. Her own father was the rector of the teaching college in Wellington. And she trained as a teacher in Stellenbosch, at Stellenbosch University, and then later also became a teacher. And then in her 60s, she only decided to study further, which was quite inspirational for all of us. And she completed a master's degree in creative writing, and that's actually where her writing career started. So within the next decade, she wrote about 4 or 5 historical novels.
And highly acclaimed historical novels, weren't they?
Yeah, I think especially her first book, Martha, did very well, and most of her books are about female characters from Wellington, and it's often just about normal women somehow finding a way of rising above their circumstances and making an impact.
Now, in terms of making an impact, she was making and trying to make an impact in the life of the young man that she was helping. She had spent many years paying his school fees, helping to fund extramural activities, obtaining maths tutoring for him, homework support, just general mentoring. Did you ever discuss with her why she felt so strongly about doing that?
I think it was quite a natural thing for her. Like, after she died, we often thought about that, you know, was it worth it what she did? But it was a very normal outflow of the kind of person she was. So Nigel was one of the people, but she was also very supportive of her whole community, and I think her stories specifically, she was almost like a guardian of people's memories and a teller of their stories, and she bestowed dignity on ordinary people by telling their stories.
Well, that's incredibly powerful. It makes what happened to her so much more unthinkable, and within the shock of losing your mom in that way, it must have felt like a moment of massive betrayal and disillusionment to have seen something that started with such good intention end so horribly. Many people would have turned away from any kind of willingness to help after that experience. You've done quite the opposite, and maybe let me bring Gordon at this point to talk to us a little bit about the decision that led to your founding the Winnie Rist Foundation.
Thanks, Pepe. Yeah, maybe just coming back to your earlier question to Helena, why Winnie was doing this. And I think it's important to mention that she had a very personal and passionate relationship with Jesus Christ. And she was very passionate about her faith. And it was an outflow of that, which made it doubly difficult for us as a family in the aftermath to grapple with the big questions of how can a good God allow something like this to happen to a good person? And in the midst of sort of wrestling with that and asking these sort of many unanswerable questions, we realize that God actually remains good, but it's actually our world and people that are broken. And it was in wrestling with all of that God birthed in us the idea of a foundation, or starting something to almost counterintuitive to how we were naturally wanting to go. Because you know, we felt that what she was doing was a good thing, and what had happened, it happened, but that shouldn't destroy what she was doing, and shouldn't stop other people from doing what she was doing.
I know you also had a sense of awareness, and this is part of what just inspires me about the story, is at a moment of such immense, deeply personal pain, you were able to look beyond and recognize that Winnie's death was one of many that occurred in that town and in that district that year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it took a lot of hard work and sort of self-discipline to actually get this foundation going. There were times where we wondered whether it made any sense. But over time, we found it actually helped us as a family to make sense of the senselessness of the act, in that it was almost a tangible way of carrying on her legacy and the intention of what she was trying to achieve. So it also helped us, I think, in a tangible way, to not simply sink into self-pity as victims, you know, and to actually allow hope, no matter how fragile, to actually draw us out of the pit.
It's an extraordinary story. Now, let's talk a little bit about what the foundation is all about. It is building on that act of Winnie reaching out to help those that she could in her immediate vicinity, but with a slightly bigger picture in mind. What is that you're trying to do?
So I think just very briefly, our mission is really just to partner with donors and beneficiaries and employers and other like-minded organizations focused on helping poorly resourced people in the Western Cape area, irrespective of age or race, basically to help them access educational opportunities. So it's really, and Elena can speak a little bit more about her mom's background in education and her family's background in education, which also was almost part of what flowed out of her naturally in helping this young man. And, you know, we really feel passionate about education, and that's one of the, maybe the most important solution, I think, to many of our problems as a country. So it's focused on that. It's focused on funding. And it's from kids in school to university to adult education. And it's really focused on creating skills that would allow people access to employment, not just education for the sake of education, but really resulting ultimately in decent and dignified employment. And it'll take the form of funding and mentorship. But we're still in our early stages. We're still brainstorming. But we actually started a year ago already. With fairly limited funds, and just from donated by family members, and we're already helping 7 beneficiaries. So already people's lives are being touched.
I had a look at the website, and the engagement is everything from assisting with access to extracurricular activities for a talented youngster who needs his artistic talent developed, to helping somebody who's already done her studies to complete her LLB. It's a wonderful spread of genders, of ages, of fields of study. It's not sort of restricted in any way, it looks like.
Yeah.
I want to bring in our third guest here, if I may, because Alexa Kirsten has been listening patiently on the line from Knysna. And Alexa is one of Winnie's longtime friends who spoke at the launch of the foundation when that event took place. Alexa, thank you so much for joining the conversation today. Welcome.
Well, it's a pleasure, Pippa.
Tell us a little bit about how you came to know Winnie and the value of that friendship to you.
We had a wonderful friendship, and I, in 2005, I had a bit of an experience in Wellington that changed my life a little bit. I was assaulted, and through that, I met so many amazing people, and Winnie Griff being one of them. And she was the most amazing support to me. I just can't tell you. She helped me so much to get back on my feet. Literally, I had to get back on my feet. She was just encouraging. She just, I just, I just don't really know what else to say. I just, her friendship meant so much to me. And it was a devastating when she was murdered. It was a really, really terrible thing for me.
Yeah.
But seeing the family come up and come back and come out with this amazing, amazing response, it just cheered me and helped me so much as well. And I think it's so encouraging, you know.
Alexa, I'm mindful of the fact that you must have also grappled with very deep questions about how you would respond to her loss. As you've said, you yourself had lived through an act of appalling violence, and to face that and have your friend gone, not able to be able to support her and help her in the way she did for you, must have been incredibly difficult. Can you talk to us a little bit about your own personal decision to support the Winnie Rist Foundation and what her family is trying to achieve?
You know, I think just having gone through what I did go through, you know, I was stabbed. I was hit on the head with an iron and stabbed 17 times in my back, and I had to learn to walk again, and first to crawl and then walk again, and during that time when I was assaulted, I had a near death experience, and for me it was a very, very emotional and extraordinary experience, and since then I've been able to relate to near death experiences and how I was able to, in a strange way, comfort people who like Winnie's family, because I was able to tell them exactly how it was, you know, that bit about dying. In that near death experience, when my soul left my body, it was just extraordinary that there was no pain and no fear, and I was removed from the horror of the situation. And so I was able, in a strange way, it prepared me for the death of many people, of my sister, my brother, and my mother. I had a whole string. And of Winnie herself, and the way, you know, her murder was just so appalling. But I just knew that as she... She would have been removed from the dreadfulness of the situation, because I can attest to that.
Mm.
The horrible, horrible murder, it was, yeah, I just didn't feel it. I didn't feel the physical pain. I didn't, I was removed from that horror. And I know that Winnie Rist was as well.
Alexa, sorry to interrupt you, but how do you think Winnie herself would feel about what has been done in her name and the foundation which has been created?
I can only say for absolutely certain that she would be absolutely positive about it. And I know without any shadow of a doubt that she would, you know, she'd support this. And
Alexa Kirsten, thank you so much. One of Winnie's dear friends, one of many who have joined you, Helena and Gordon, in this effort. It's not you alone. You've got this foundation up and running. Several listeners are asking whether you have had the opportunity or the desire to engage with Nigel and Johannes Blykies and have any kind of conversation with them. Is that something that has happened that you ever think might?
I think when we were in High Court, there were ample opportunity to, from his side and from his mother's side, to engage with us. But, yeah, it was a strange situation. They were very emotionally unresponsive, and there was just no door to any kind of positive, constructive communication. And we'll see what the future holds. I don't know what Gordon thinks.
Yeah, that's a difficult question. I think perhaps we haven't really thought about it that much. I think we're still trying to put things together on our side and to move forward. But it's certainly not something that one would rule out. And I think at the end of the day, we'll need to consider engaging with him. But I think as Elena said, I think what was very disturbing for us was the lack of emotion. And in fact, it was even picked up by the judge. There was no remorse and no emotion. So it's a very perplexing situation. So it's very difficult to engage when one doesn't see humanity on the other side. So I think it'll be something hard, but something that's certainly not ruled out.
Well, I just think that makes it even more remarkable that you have looked for the humanity elsewhere and you've looked for a chance to build something positive out of this. My final question is what our listeners can do to support the work of the foundation.
Well, I think, particularly in our current climate of violence and, just the newspapers again this morning with more violence. And, I think it's really what we're hoping is just to encourage people out there to realize that, tragedy and death is not the end of the story, and that we have the opportunity to actually change the story and to change the narrative. And I just remember in the aftermath of my mother-in-law's murder, several people said to me they were going to help someone, or they were helping someone, and they stopped for safety reasons, and that it's almost one of the things that galvanized us to get this going, because, if we don't work together to change, and instead of isolating ourselves behind high walls, I think we'll live under the illusion of safety. But the only way we're really going to ensure safety for all our people is to work together to rebuild our society. And one of the ways in general is education. So we'd be happy for funding, I guess, to make this happen. And we actually were able to do a lot with little. So we were really helping 7 people with very little funding. And we hope that people will contribute to that.
I hope so too. And the way to do that is to please visit the website winnierist.org. They are a registered public benefit organization, which means that donations are tax deductible. So please keep that in mind. I want to wish you every success with this venture and to thank you so much for coming and to share the story with us today. Helena and Gordon Reed, thank you very much for being with us, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Papa.
Thanks, Papa.